It's walking through the crowd, just revealing the love of God, the power of this great Christ. And just thank you for allowing us to be part of the ministry of Whitfield, carrying the gospel to foreign soil. Reading this morning, I have a message you're going to be able to look over at somebody and say, I never heard it on this fashion before. That does not mean it is not gospel. It's very much gospel. I want to preach on the subject, a goat on a leash. And stay with me. We're going to read out of Matthew 25. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 8 and then Leviticus chapter 16. And it'll all be self-explanatory. You, as I preach this morning, you'll be able to say, I understand now what he's saying. Reading out of Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This word cursed is a very strong word. It is the curse that God placed upon Satan in the Garden of Eden. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. As a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Father, would you grant today the freedom to preach the gospel? Let me, God, minister today to each of us that are here under the sound of my voice, by the way of CD, tape, oh God, touch the hearts of lives of people. Let us realize the end of this age is come and judgment is fastly approaching. What we've done and are doing for Thee is all that's going to matter on that eternal day. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. In Daniel's prophecies, he deals with the Medo-Persian Empire coming to power, overthrowing the Babylonian Empire, and he sees it all in panoramic view in advance of the events transpiring, though he himself would live into the reign of the Medo-Persian Empire. He sees the rising of that Persian Empire, and we pick it up, and it says at verse 4, Daniel 8, I saw the ram, which is representing the Medo-Persian Empire, pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat. Underscore the word he-goat. We're dealing with goats on the left hand and sheep on the right hand. And a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. The goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And if we would read the entirety of the chapter, we would know that this is representing the Grecian Empire. And this one horn on this goat represents Alexander the Great, was the great king that would overthrow the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Bible reads on and says, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the full fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he's moved with anger and against him and smote. The ram broke his two horns. There's no power in the ram to stand before him. He cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And the goat, the he-goat, waxed very great and was strong, and the great horn was broken. Alexander died as a young man, having conquered the known world. And we continue reading, for it came up in his place four notable horns, and toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which is typifying the Antichrist. And I read all of that to say this, that the spirit of Antichrist that doth already work is represented in fashion as a goat. The Bible has nothing good to say about goats. As a matter of fact, if we were to pull up and look into Strong's Concordance and look at the five definitions of the word goat in the Old Testament, you would find that this he-goat, represented in Daniel 8 and everywhere through the Bible that it refers to a he-goat, the word simply means shaggy devil. We also see it in type when God said concerning Esau and Jacob. He said, Esau I've hated, Jacob I've loved. Though Jacob had some very difficult times and some very carnal dispositions in his nature, there was something about Jacob that Esau never obtained to. And God said concerning Esau that he was a hairy man or a shaggy goat. Meaning that he lived to the flesh. He was totally consumed with carnality. Not only does the word goat deal with a shaggy devil, which means hairy, rough, unruly, untamable. I submit here without fear of contradiction upon explanation that the old man is unredeemable. Amen. You cannot save the old man. Amen. The old man is unredeemable. He must be crucified and I must be resurrected to newness of life in Christ. And in every human that's ever born on planet Earth, there is a warfare that rages between the old man and the new man. And whom you submit yourself to determines who your father is. The old man is fathered by the devil, the he-goat, the shaggy devil. The new man is fashioned in likeness and after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our salvation. Not only does the Bible deal with the shaggy devil and deals with it as a goat, and the Antichrist is indeed represented as a shaggy goat. He's always going to be on the left hand of God. He has access to the throne of God for a time, but only there is an accuser of what's on the right hand. He's saying they've been given subject to the same shaggy devil characteristics as myself. They're no different, but we are different. We're made different. We're made new after the Lord Jesus Christ by a work of the Spirit of God. Not only does the Bible deal with the oh he goat, deals with an oh she goat. I like the way y'all are shouting. You ladies are saying that's right on the he goat. Now we're dealing with the she goat. Jews said put them to death. When they reach the age of 3 years old, they're to be used as a type of sin sacrifice. They're in the embodiment of evil. Well, I didn't call you the Antichrist. I just called you Mrs. Antichrist. The she-goat is strong. Hairy. Meaning fleshly. Stout-hardened. Strengthen self. But don't let us stay there too long. We look at the third meaning of the word goat in that Hebrew language, Chaldean and Arabic, and also in Greek, for you that's concerned about such. The Bible deals with the wild goat. The word wild goat means skinny, slender, shrieking, groaning, crying, given to self-pity. Do you know that goats die hard? We are as sheep led to the slaughter and open not our mouths. We die, amen, understanding that there is something better ahead. Goats die kicking, shrieking and screaming and hollering, bellowing and bleeding the whole time as long as there's blood in their body and life. Goats die hard. You want to know why that old man is so difficult to crucify? Because he's a wild goat. It's hard to put him to death. He dies hard. Then the he-goat, first mentioned in Daniel 8, means a male goat prancing, given to pride. If men and women would just lay their pride aside, get in an altar, weep and cry, talk to God, but pride. Yes. Then it also carries in Daniel 8 three different meanings of the word he-goat there. The first, a dominant, shaggy devil, rough, unruly. Second, prancing goat. Given to pride. Thirdly, an old he-goat given to button. Well, we could have revival at the church, but somebody's always butting in.
Come on now.
Yes. We could go this way, but somebody's always rising up and the he-goat nature. Then we have to look at the distinction between goats and sheep. Goats hate rain. Sheep graze best in rain. As a matter of fact, there is an element in the rain that causes the grass to taste better. Rain does to corn, it brings nitrogen, natural. Sheep understand that, and if they got a good shepherd, they graze in the rain. Goats run to the nearest tree, get under it, and look cross-eyed, mad at the heavens for water flowing down, and mad as long as one drop is hitting them. Do you know that in religious circles, there are folks that are fearful that it's going to rain? Because Joel prophesied in the last day, he saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. And he used it as the former and the latter rain in the first month. Goats hate rain. Sheep are longing for it. It brings the grass to life. It brings nourishment to their soul. It brings a refreshing. It clears and cleans the air. Let it rain, dear God, let it rain. Goats are driven or dragged, they're never led. And every church is either a goat barn or a sheepfold.
My sheep know my voice, Jesus said. I'm the great shepherd. My sheep follow me. They run from the voice of a stranger. But you can tell whether you've got a goat barn or a sheepfold by how that congregation responds to the will of God. Do you have to be driven to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, or whatever? That makes you a goat in danger of eternal damnation. Are you driven? Does he have to hang you over hell to get you to pay your tithes? You're a goat. Goats are driven. Goats are dragged. Goats are never led. And I submit to you that you and I, with this dual nature, the old man and the new man, one or the other's pulling on us all the time. We're either easily led of the Spirit or the old shaggy devil goat is dragging us. Then I heard a man make a statement preaching. I didn't like nothing he said except the statement, because I could just shoot holes through it all the way down. He's going somewhere off in left field and dealing with Bible prophecy, finally going to put no rapture. But he made a statement. And so I researched it, found it to be fact. The incense that is offered on the altar of incense, which is a type of prayer, found in Leviticus 16, Leviticus 15 and Leviticus 16, if it's compounded after the art of the apothecary, according to the scriptures, according to the law of Moses, goats are allergic to it. If they're in close vicinity of the altar of incense, they break out in a rash, scratch on everything, rub and roll and flip and flop. And they have tested it and said that a goat with the wind blowing the right direction for 25 miles has an allergy reaction to the incense off the altar. You want to know why you can't get nobody to come pray? I'll tell you why. They're goats. They're allergic to it. They get nervous. They can endure the singing, sit through the preaching. But when that altar opens, a goat's got to run. I said a goat has got to run. He's allergic to it. It's against his nature. Said, not me. Well, you're the one leaving. Not me, you're the one not paying your tithes. Not me, you're the one not supporting missions, reaching to the lost, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, visiting the imprisoned. Are you going to heaven or going to hell? Now, having said that, we look then at the application scripturally. There's an old man, there's a new man. There's figs. There's thorns. There's wheat. There's tares. There's spiritual. There's carnal. There's saved. There's lost. There's right. There's wrong. And he sums it all up by saying they're either sheep or goats, and it means life or death. No fuzzy gray area. Judge for yourself. He said, judge yourself to see whether you be in the Word or not. We're about to meet God. Are you going to meet Him there as a budding goat?
Come on now.
Or a led sheep?
Hallelujah.
Well, it doesn't end there. Goats are browsers. Sheep are grazers. Goats eat anything. Sheep look for pasture. Oh, God, deliver me from them old shaggy he and she goats that go off browsing this charismatic, demonic activity and want to drag it back in here. So we got old brother so-and-so. We've been going listening to him. Well, he don't believe in a rapture. He don't believe in sanctification. He don't ever give an altar call for repentance. But he's got some good stuff. Yes, he does. Goat droppings. And if you eat that, I used to think goats, and I already made the statement, goats die hard. But do you know goats are one of the most susceptible to parasites of any of the four-footed cud-chewing creatures? Why? Because they eat everything. My uncle, Jimmy D, he on up in his 80s now, decided too much trouble keeping cows, got a large pasture. So somebody told him a lot of money to be made in goats. He sold all his cows, invested in some goats, got him some registered goats. That's full-blooded ones. He got a particular segment of goats. It's called fainting goats. He said a bad thunder squall was a-coming up. And he said, look down the end of the pasture. And there come that old Billy, 13 nannies. At neck break speed. Said he had the barn closed. Said they're trying to tear the door down to get in. There's a threat of rain. And they got to get on the inside. Said before he could get out there. Got a hold of the gate. Lightning popped an old water oak off over there 100 yards or so. And he said, my God, every one of my goats has been struck by lightning. They fell out. Some of them in epileptic fits. Flouncing, flopping eyes rolled back in their head. No, they ain't been struck by lightning. They're just displaying their nature. Amen. They couldn't avoid the conflict of the storm. And so they just fainted. I said, dear God, I've been watching them for 30 years in Pentecost and charismatic fall out in mass. They don't want a confrontation with the latter and former rain from heaven and the power of God touching their life. It's the nature of the goat. I'm not saying that everybody that falls out is under the power of the Antichrist. But if it is to avoid confrontation with God, that's exactly what it is. The spirit of Antichrist that doth already work. It's the nature of the goat to avoid any conflict with God. Goats are browsers. My uncle planted winter rye. We had all that rain. That stuff growed belly deep on a goat. Rich green. He said he learned another lesson about goats. They will stand with their belly being tickled with the greatest grass and nutrients that could be available to a goat and stick their head through a wire fence. He said, I spent half a day every morning going out getting them 13 nannies, getting their heads hung out of the wire, getting them back on the inside. They're eating on briars that ain't had no life in it since the summertime and it's hard of the winter. What are you talking about? I'm talking about you're either going to graze in the pasture led by the shepherd, the Holy Ghost of God, or you're going to browse on that which contains parasites and no life. What are you, a goat or a sheep? The Lord said you would know the tree by the fruit it bears. He said thorn trees and thistles don't produce figs. He said you would know by what you are, by what you do. Well, I don't want nobody to know what I'm doing. I got Bible farts that don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. But if your fig tree ain't got no figs on it, you're just hiding a goat in your barn. Come on now. I read an article that said so many pastors are quitting. The reason is they just got tired of trying to drive folks to heaven. You can drive the goats to the very portal. Amen. But when you get them there, God ain't going to let them in.
Yes, come on now.
Sheep's going to walk in because the shepherd's leading. Amen. Amen. Goats are browsers. Sheep are grazers. Goats are driven or dragged. Sheep are led. Goats hate rain. Sheep graze best in rain. Goats are allergic to incense offered on the altar of incense, type of prayer. Sheep have no problem. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And he didn't get nervous with a good old-fashioned Pentecostal ladder rain raining down. For he said, I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to come into his courts with praise. God, give us back the church as a sheepfold. And let the goats be driven into a land uninhabited. Having said thus, now we deal with this dual nature. In Leviticus 16, Abihu and Abinadab had just offered strange incense. You just don't have to weep and cry and humble yourself. We just make it a confession thing at the altar. Bible said they offered strange fire and God killed them. God gonna kill every goat, you mark it down. And you'll either expose your goat to sacrifice here or be exposed to the wrath of God there.
Amen.
One way or the other, the goat's got to die.
Amen.
You can either willingly allow him to be put to death.
That's right.
Paul said, I must crucify the old man daily.
Amen. Yes.
Once in one confession is not sufficient.
Amen.
For a lifetime lived here.
Amen.
Don't care who says it, who wrote it. How famous they were, if you don't crucify the old man, which is in tight the goat,
Amen.
Is in tight the thorn bush,
Amen.
Is in tight the tear, is in tight the carnal.
Uh-huh.
If you don't keep that under subjection, it will bring you under subjection,
Amen.
To its law, which is unruly,
Amen.
Lawlessness,
Amen.
And eternal damnation.
Amen.
They're too straight. Well, we're about to go home. I don't want to get there and find out I've been running with a flock of goats. And we've been driven to do the will of God. I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. I want to hear that. I don't want to hear it depart from me. You look at it in Matthew 25. He deals with 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. You look at those virgins. Everything there was their obligation except one thing. The only thing there that's God is the oil. I said everything there they availed for themselves except the oil. They had to appropriate their own oil for their own lamp. They furnished the lamp. They furnished the zeal. But God is a type of the oil. There's a lot of the folks going to make it, get into eternity to the judgment seat and have no God with them. No oil. Then he said the very next parable, I called my servants unto me. I said, I'm going away. I'm going to give some talents. All that he called, he gave talents. Called Talbert up there and said, now son, I'm giving you one talent. That's all. I give these others. I give Brother Joe. It doesn't matter what kind. If it's got strings on it, he can make it sound like music. Aptly. I give him some vocal cords. He can sing. He can preach like a... I mean, he just got my... Whoa, he's in trouble, though. He got to talk to God and answered all of that. I get there. He give me one talent. You go preach the gospel. You sound the alarm in my holy mountain. You look my people in the eye and tell them I'm coming. They're going to stand before me. I can't hide that under a napkin somewhere in a closet. I'm constrained of the Holy Ghost with the necessity of eternity hanging over my head. I must cry. Can't sing, can't play. I can tell you unto God I can preach. That's all. Hello? He dealt with talents. He dealt with all. And then he comes down to the end of it and said, here's the climax of it all. You either lived a life as a goat, a shaggy devil, a she-devil, he-devil, a whining, budding goat, or you lived a life as a sheep led by the shepherd. You determine. I can't tell what you are. Far as I can tell, all of you look fluffy and white to me. Hello? Amen. Far as I know, I don't have access to the tithe book or what you're doing. Amen. You all look like sheep. You're already here this morning. God's laid His finger and laid His hand on the head of a goat. Some area, the goat nature has dominated. In Leviticus 16, in the aftermath of false incense, false prayer being offered by the sons of Aaron, God has smitten them, they've died. God said, here now, Aaron, what we're going to do, we're going to have the great day of atonement, a day of reckoning. I want you to find the two he-goats. Bring them before the Lord, cast lots over them, and the Lord shall separate one goat unto Himself as a sacrifice for sin. Meaning that the goat there represents the sin of the nation of Israel. Sin can only be atoned for by blood. They brought the two goats before the high priest Aaron. He cast lots. God picked him a goat. Said, now this goat's got to die. That goat's a type of Christ. Caiaphas said it best. Need one man die for the nation instead of the whole nation die? Speaking of Christ. And God laid the sin of the nation of Israel on Christ. But alas, not only the nation of Israel, but all nations. This is Matthew 25. If you go into eternity as a goat, you'll go there in rebellion to the will and purpose of God. He desires and wills that no man, woman, boy, or girl be a goat.
Amen.
So they sacrificed the he-goat for the sin. It represents the sin. God hath laid on Christ the sin of us all. He bore my sin, your sin, in His body on the tree. He died. The guiltless for the guilty.
Amen.
The sinless for the sinner.
Amen.
And then God said in Leviticus 16, the second goat, when the sanctuary has been sanctified and the blood of the goat has been sprinkled on the mercy seat and the horns of the altar seven times, then ye shall come out and the high priest shall designate one man, and the Bible calls him a fit man. And the fit man takes the second goat, which now becomes the scapegoat.
Amen.
And the high priest walks up. Here stands a fit man with a goat on a leash.
Come on now. Come on.
And the high priest leans over the scapegoat, lays both hands on it, and discharges the sin of Israel for a year on the head of the scapegoat.
Amen.
And the fit man, I looked that up the best I could. And from what our little research I found, this fit man is a member of the tribe of Levi. He's a priest. And they say that according to tradition along the line of the fit man, he runs that marathon one time in his life. He's trained and prepared for this one race. I'm going to tell you folks that you were brought nigh by the blood and made fit.
Yes.
Now you've got to run this race with patience, looking unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. You're getting one shot at it, one opportunity, one foot race. And run, Paul said, lighten the load and run this race with patience. Cast aside the weights, the sin that doth so easily beset, and run. My God, run. We're almost home. Run. So he takes a fit man, takes the scapegoat. Now comes in to New Testament fulfillment of the type of the old. I'm made fit by the blood, but I still got the goat.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God hadn't laid on me my sin. He hadn't imputed me my sin, but His righteousness.
Amen.
Yet the old man is ever there.
Uh-huh.
He's got to be kept under subjection.
Amen.
Well, it seemed like some of you is having trouble following. If I could find my glasses, I'd read it to you. Amen. I'd find it over there. The Word of God tells us, knowing this, Romans 6:6. Dealing with that old man, we've almost got the mark of the beast. 6, a number of flesh. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man's put to death. How often? Christ died once. You got to kill that old man every day. I was preaching last week over at Brother Bobby somewhere. I've been working on this. I'm preaching this at camp meeting, God willing, next week in Connecticut. But I said, yeah, I get up every morning with an old goat right beside me. And everybody looked at Sister Talbert, just like you're doing. I wasn't talking about her. She's not near the problem that old man is.
Come on now. Come on.
Huh? Matter of fact, that old man lays a lot of offense to her. I like the way you husband's shouting now. I said, that's right, that old man lay a lot of offense to her. It ain't her the problem. You might be married to an old she-goat, I don't know. I don't know nothing about that. But I'm just telling you, the old goat I have to deal with every morning, and sometimes, many times through the course of a day. Many offenses come through the passing of a day, and that old man will rise up. I carried my truck down here to McKenzie's. I'm telling you, they got my goat. You understand? I had a little pamphlet somebody gave me about coin phrases that we use, and one of them was, "That gets my goat." They said that's a biblical term, and they applied it to Leviticus 16. Fit man's got the goat. You don't have to let the goat get you.
Amen.
You can keep the goat under subjection. He's driven, he's dragged. He's either driving you or you're dragging him.
Amen. Come on.
I got down. I had my truck in that shop several times, then fix it, what was under warranty. Had a knot in the rear end. I drove the service manager down the road, said that's normal for all Chevrolet's GMCs. I said, that's not normal. You can have a clunk, but when you got a knock, you got a clunk taking off, that might just be a little loose in the ring pinion gear. I said, look, I didn't fall off the turnip truck last night. I booed around. I said, we farmed for a number of years. We put stuff together with the baling wire and electrical tape and worked on it and patched it up. And I'm telling you, this is not normal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it is. I said, it won't stay there. Well, if it tears up, we'll fix it. Liar. Soon as the warranty went out, it went out. I got it down there to fix a ring pinion gear. Going to charge me $3,200. You talk about getting your goat. I prayed that morning, read my Bible before I went down there. I got down there and there sits the little secretary, and I can vent it all at her. I can bless her out, tell her what I think. Give her a peek. I said, ma'am, this don't concern you at all. I said, you just back here to get our money. And I said, I'd willingly give it to you if I owed it. I don't owe you a dime. And I ain't a paying a dime. And you're going to have to get somebody up here that wrote this bill up. And we're going to have a talk face to face. Well, he got in there. He said, Mr. Talbert, I see you're upset. I said, buddy, 5 times I had this truck in here. You could have fixed it under warranty. You'd have got paid. I'd have been a happy customer. Now, It's out of warranty. You told me when I brought it in here, because we'd filed five times on it, warranty would probably cover it. And now you're telling me no warranty, and you're charging me $3,200 for a ring pinion gear. I am not paying nothing. You go out there and get everything you put on it off. $105 for a quart of oil. Don't tell me you don't have problems with that goat. Other goats incite its rage in a goat. That battle between Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire is a battle of goats. Most churches have become goat barns instead of sheep folds, and the goats are always butting their head, blaming it on the devil. That's right, it is the devil, but he's using you. Straight but true. He said, Mr. Talbert, I see you're upset. He's backing to the door. Well, I hadn't hit nobody since I got born again. Boy, I wanted to hit him. Good gracious alive, he got my goat. And that goat had quit being dragged and was dragging me. He backed to the door and he said, I'll fix that bill. I'll be back in a minute. He left. Little lady sitting behind there, she's snickering. I leaned there and looked at her. I said, it's funny, ain't it? She said, I hate to tell you, sir, but it is. And the other one up there was snickering. They said he needed to be talked to. Did he come back? No. His office is four doors down. He faxed a new bill. Charged me $87 for an hour of labor. I told her I'll pay that. I'm talking about goats and sheep. I'm talking about keeping the old man under subjection. I'd hate to have to go down there and plead the blood of and all them folks to, amen, forgive me because I let a goat said, but you were justified. All goats claim justification. An excuse that keeps you out of church, keeps you from a prayer meeting, keeps you from paying your tithes. Used often enough, that excuse will keep you out of the great sheepfold in heaven. You may justify it here, but there's only one justifier, and that is Christ and Him alone. So the fit man, now we're dealing with a goat. I got my goat. I got him on a leash. Meaning, I've got to drag him because goats are never led. And dragging a goat, what is the nature according to them Hebrews knew something in that language. They said that he, she, goat. Both of them carry the same definition, he or she. You're dragging it. What does that crazy goat do? It's in his nature. He's butting all the time. Horn. It's the nature of the goat.
Amen. Come on now. Oh, yeah.
It's all right to turn around and slap that goat down. That's not animal cruelty. It's the only thing the goat understands. Now you can turn him around. You can get him real close. You can tickle between his ears and scratch where the mites are biting. He'll love up on you real good, but don't turn your back. It's the nature of a goat. He's going to butt you. And the Bible said a great he-goat come prancing and ran into the ram with anger. It's the nature. All the journey through this life, you're going to bear the marks in your body of a butting goat. But you must not, because he's budding, allow him to take the lead. Because they're never led. They either lead or they are drug. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Many years ago, Keller wrote those books. I read an article, don't remember all that I read, but I just remembered a story about an old grandfather thinking that the end had come, he's getting too old. Grace. pastors up there. They would bring them down to the valleys for the winter pastures. And as they would come out of various canyons, highland valleys, they would meet up with other shepherds. And Mr. Keller said at one time, an old shepherd, his son had related the story, grandson. Grandpa had over 600 head of sheep. And as they came out of the highlands down to the valley, they would meet up with other shepherds and the sheep would begin to intermingle. And they advanced on till there's over 10,000 head of sheep in one flock. And the grandson is all concerned and said, "Papa, how will we ever find our sheep? There's not a brand, there's not a tag in the ear. How are we going to find our sheep?" And the grandfather kept reassuring the lad, "It'll be all right when we get to the green pastures in the valley. 10,000 plus sheep. It's just a sea of white." And the old shepherd walked to a knoll in the middle of that valley, lifted up his head and leaned back, let out a distinct shepherd cry. There was a milling through all the flock, but out of 10,000 plus, 600 come to the voice of the shepherd. They are led. They are not driven, they're led. And they said, "Shepherd, some with only 30 or 40 sheep, they would come up and stand on the knoll at their turn and would give a distinct shepherd's cry, and without an external mark, without a tag in an ear, the sheep were marked by the voice of their shepherd." Dear God, that's God's will for you and for me. He's not looking for a sheep to butt his will, to bait against him. He's looking for somebody that would pray like the great shepherd prayed, "Thy will, O God, be done, not mine." Are you a goat or are you a sheep? Fit man drug the goat to a land uninhabited and severed the lease there. The analogy in Isaiah 35 is there's a highway through a wilderness called the highway of holiness. I'm going to go that road. I'm on it tonight or this morning. I'm telling you, I got a goat on a leash. I'm going to drag him to the gate of the city of the redeemed. And there God shall sever the unjust from the just, the unrighteous from the righteous. Till I get there, Brother Joe, I've got to drag that goat. He's blading. He's kicking. He dives hard. Carter Conlon, that pastors World Challenge, David Wilkerson built that great work. I heard him preach some time ago. Beaumont, Texas. He and his wife were shepherds before God called them into the ministry. Somewhere up in Canada. He said a distinct thing. He said, "You hated a goat." He said the honest thing that could destroy the relationship between sheep and a shepherd was an old imposter goat. He said he takes on the demeanor of the sheep, goes right along with the shepherd for a while. But given the opportunity, that old goat will lead that whole flock away from that shepherd. They infiltrate. The Bible said, "Look out for wolves with sheep clothing on." There's a lot of infiltration. Leading away from the will of God. But he said, in the nature of that sheep, he said, a man, they butchered some for some folks, and man come, he's going to kill a little fatted lamb. He said, the story's gory. For us around here, just life. He said he slipped that sheep's throat. He said every time that heart would beat, that blood would spurt. And said it spurted on his pants leg and across the top of his hand. He said that little lamb licked that blood off his pants and off his hands as it was dying. Total reliance on the shepherd. Thy will be done. Life or death, thy will be done. I get all hyped up going on them mission trips. I have so many say, why go? It's a big harvest here, I know. And if God sent me here, that'd be great, but He didn't. But I gear up for 3 or 4 days for that flight. I go through all the scenarios in your mind. Muslim, resurrections and infiltrations and scenarios of kidnapping. And you go through this life or death. But it's always a heavy burden till I go through that first checkpoint, that airport. It leaves like it come. Why? Submitted to His will. At that point, peace kicks in. Great peace to they whose mind is stayed up. I want to be found a sheep. I've wrestled with the goat and continue to wrestle. I've wrestled with the goat and others. I've saw others being drug along with the goat nature. And I've said, oh God, let me get a hold of their leash and help them. And I've tried only to get jerked down, stamped on. The truth of the matter is, you've got to deal with your own goat. You've got to control your own goat, or your goat will control you. And the results are disastrous. To live a life in the house of God, having been controlled by a goat. I'm not a goat of His fold. He don't have any. But He did say, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. On that great eternal day, I'll sever them. You can tell a goat. You can tell a tare. You can tell a carnal. They don't get their way. They'll peel the paint off the wall and drag half the church out in the wilderness to their own death. Isn't it true? What are you? Are you a goat or are you sheep? Is this a goat barn or is it a sheep fold? Do we follow the leadership of the great shepherd? Or are we always butting and prancing? Do we die hard? Or do we just submit to the will of God? Father, that ye be right with God, that ye put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful deeds, that ye put on the new man, whom after God is created in the likeness of His Son Christ, that ye no more submit yourselves willingly to the lust of the flesh and the corruptible deeds, but ye depend and rely upon Me, the great shepherd, to lead thee and guide thee, to feed thee, to sustain thee, to take care of thee. It is My will, saith God, that none of My sheep perish. I offer thee life. I offer thee the way of righteousness. Come unto Me. Rely upon Me. I will give thee strength. I've made thee fit and drawn nigh by My blood, saith the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Bless the Lord. Would you stand all over the building? What a great day. This side of eternity, just prior to the rapture of the church, God would visit Whitfield.